Okay. Today's daf is daf Samach Hey, and we're holding at the bottom of Samach Dalet on the Beis, and we are not sad at all to hear. Hamotzei Meit Batachila. We noticed before that we have the din of Raglayim Ledavar, and I mentioned that it's rather strange, but that's going to become the theme of the Perek as we continue on. And we're ready to discuss things here which don't have any obvious connection to Masechet Nazir, other than the fact that we've begun discussing some of the dinim of Tumat Meit, but these are things that appear in other places, such as Arlot, Negayim, Zavim. Nonetheless, they're brought here. The common denominator, curiously enough, is Raglayim Ledavar, which is really strange, especially considering that it opens up Masechet Sotah as well. In any event, someone who finds a mate, and we'll see what each one of these words mean. Batchila mushkav kidarko. Not lo, he has a right to remove the mate. But certainly, batchila means that we do not know that there had been a kever here. In which case, the kever may be illegal. First of all, who said that he had rishus to bury the mate here? Secondly, the kever may have been made bichlal not as a permanent thing, but as you know, in those days they would bury the mate in a temporary location until such time as they could bring the body or the remains to Kvura in a family plot, which could be somewhere very far away. But in those circumstances, obviously, there's not only a heter to remove the mate, it's even a mitzvah to bring the mate to the family plot. So therefore, there is no reason to assume that this kever was meant to be tofeset mekomo, either that it was a legal kever and it was meant to be covered there, or that it was a mate mitzvah, it was tofeset mekomo. And the mate can be moved. But some say it relates to Nazir because there was a takana to go around searching for Mekomot of Tuma in order that Nazirim and Tumeim, Kohanim shouldn't become Tumeim. But in any event, yes, that's right. In any event, the mate is moved, but he's moved together with the Tvusa, which means the area around him which may have absorbed some of the decayed products of the body, liquid products. And we'll see where we learn this out from, and we'll see how much that is later on. If he finds two kvarot, such as these, he can still be notlan vet fusatam, he's still allowed to move them. However, once he's motzei shelosha, then he's got a problem, because you see the derech of burial was to bury in kuchim, where the standard was to bury three meitim on one side next to each other. And if there's three in kuchim, you know, the little where they would have the mara, they would dig an underground cave, and then in the side of the cave, in the forward portion of the cave, they would put in kuchim. There would also often be a doorway facing the doorway of that cave in which this would continue. So they needed more space. They would go and they would continue to dig out. So there would be another kuch further on. Mm-hmm. There's a machlokas exactly what the standardized size of a kuch is. And there's a lot of shitas, even the two shitas in the Mishnah, but there's a lot of shitas in the Rishonim, exactly how to work out the details of those two shitas. And it's really a Baba Basra sugya, and it's a rather complex sugya, which is only peripherally nogea here because it defines the space. How much space do you have to worry about defining these three kvarot? I mean, just because you found three kvarot, but they're not arranged in a way that would have made sense that they were in a particular kuch, were next to each other, within the space in which you could have what is called a shchunat kvarot, where you had set aside the area for beit kvarot, and obviously you can't move them. And that meant that that's where they were meant to be buried. It wasn't accidental. It wasn't temporary. It wasn't without rishus. It was all set up this way from God knows how long back. So the shita that we're taking on over here, the Rishonim have a little bit of difficulty, even according to Rabbi Shimon, to figure out why exactly it works out to between 4 amot and 8 amot. Now, there's a lot of different ways of learning it. Maybe each mate is to face at mikomah, bokomah, plus there's half an amah between the meitim, and that would allow us, in the shita, Rabbi Shimon goes for a kuch, would allow for three meitim to be buried minimally within 4 amot, or maximally, which would be the maximum side of one of the kuchim. Again, some learn that it's actually referring to going around in a square. That's how Tosis tries to figure out the fishitasa. But just assuming the pashtas, the minimal shear that you could find three meitim that would be normally buried in this type of ma'ara, which is a shkunat kvarot, would be three meitim within 4 amot, or maybe some of the different kuchim collapsed and were never used. And therefore, a whole side would be within 8 amot, if you take into consideration the alachson as well. Yeah, okay. Again, as I say, it's really not, nobody goes in here into the details that make it necessary for us to do so.
Does that mean that examining all the different ones would lend itself to the evidence of the shear now? If we did an examination of the different
ones? I really doubt that they went to the Parisian standards of Amos, or that they used the laser measurement of an Amma, and therefore all you would do is find some type of approximation. I mean, if we're talking about, you might as well measure the bones of the mate, see how big an Amma is. We would have got to look at the concrete. they could take an average of the size of an actual Amma on a skeleton. You know how big an Amma is. It doesn't work like that. Okay, in any event, the thing over there is that once you've got three, and it's within a shear, these three are within a shear of 4 to 8 amos, where it would make sense that they're buried in a shkunat kvarot, then I raise a shkunat kvarot, which has two very important implications. Number one, they can't be moved, because then you have to assume it's a legal beit kvarot, and they were meant to be left there. But number two is that since it's very common to find one Ma'arat Kvura that opens up into yet another Ma'arat Kvura, you now have to be Bodek Heimenu La'alan Esri Mamar. Now you've got to check to see whether maybe there's another Shkunat Kvarot, and then you would have to make sure that all of that area was marked off for Tuma. You couldn't move any of them. And what's interesting is that even if you find one additional mate over there, then you'd still have to assume that that mate was part of the Shkunat Kvarot, even though initially, if you had found a single mate, you could have moved the kever. But here, if you find one, then you couldn't move him. Sheraglayim ledavar. Because here you have every right to assume that he's actually part of a Shkunat Kvarot that cannot be moved. She'ilu tchila mitza'o. If you just found him alone, there wouldn't have been a problem. Not lo vetvusato. So we see how a pattern, which gives us a raglayim ledavar, even in terms of just simple chazaka, it's a pattern lahalach over here, it's a pattern in actual findings, forces us to conclusions that would be different than we would have reached if we didn't have raglayim ledavar. So this is the continuation of that sugya of raglayim ledavar. Omer Rav Yudah said, Rav Yudah, listen, you've got to read this Mishnah very carefully. I mean, every single word over here has massive implications. So it says matzah, hamotzei. Now that means motzei prat lamatzui. But in a case where you've got a mate that is already matsui, meaning that it's known that this mate is here, you have no right to take that mate. It's only because over here we can't say that that there's a reason to believe that this was legal. But if people have always known about this mate, now you want to make a road here or whatever, so then you can't move the mate. That's how many Rishonim are. The Rambam learns matsui means that it's on the surface, so that there's no din of tvusa, because there was no really time for the earth, and there's no chashash. He learns later on differently the sugya in order to make this work out, as we'll see. Mate is prat laharug, so it says matzah mate, but not if the person was murdered. If the person was murdered, then we do not give him this halacha. It's very, very strange. Nobody's sure where all of this comes from. Many Rishonim suggest that this could be straight out of Lachon Moshe Mitzinai, because there's such interesting and not completely rational criteria here that it seems to be coming from something that we were mekabel rather than something that we have a reason to have made up ourselves. So that the din of tfusa may not apply in a case where the mate is chaser on some level, since a harug is usually chaser because he's lost his blood. And the Rishonim point out, even in a case where he was, I mean, there are some who argue, but that even in a case where he was choked to death or so on, that would also be included in the category of mate, haruk, once we make the category. Tani ula bar chanina. Mate shechaser in lo tfusa. If a mate is not whole, so then, and this, as I said, many learn this referring to the prat la haruk, but that's why prat la haruk, because by definition he's chaser. However, the Rambam learns that the chaser is dafke, if he's chaser, a davash and a shamat liyabo, not just if something is missing. So here, if the mate is chaser, he doesn't have a lock of tfusa, and he doesn't have a lock of shkunat kvarot. And what about all these latter cases? Kol hami mai time alo, amrinan duma ovikokov imu. The latter cases where it's buried in an unusual pattern, sitting or bent over, That is, and that's even if it's would be in a fetal position on his side, but the head is between the thighs, not in the position of yeshiva. That's not considered to be a Jewish burial, and therefore we don't have to be chayshish, that is a right to this kept. Another unusual burial that would prove that it's not Jewish is if you find two metim that are buried head to foot. Rosh Hashozeh b'tzad margelotav shalzeh. Rosh Hashozeh b'tzad margelotav shalzeh. Ein lehem tvusa v'lo shkunat kvarot, for the same reason. How about if matza shlosha? You did indeed find two metim. However, ha'echad yidu'a. One of these metim is yadua, not matzui now betchila. Now, even though it's yadua, doesn't mean it's yadua that it was meant to be a permanent kever. Because if it were, then the halacha doesn't make sense here. But yadua over here means I know that this mate was here. I'm unsure about whether the intent was to leave the body here or to come back and to collect the remains to bring it to a family plot. And then two are suddenly discovered that we had no idea were buried here.
Oh, echad tchila, we should say. Vishnayim yaduim. So in this case, the correct use is almost 100%, like those Rishonim who read Nyeshlem in Fusa, because it's absolutely unacceptable that we should say Ein Lehem Din Tvusa. Din Tvusa is not Nogea. It should be Dafka Shchumas Kvorot. Even if you're moving the mate, that's where you have Tvusa. So let's read as the Rosh does, Yesh Lehem Din Tvusa. But Ein Lehem, they don't have the Din of Shchumas Kvorot. Because being as if three of them are not the same, it's very likely over here, in the same way that we don't know about the one that we know about, whether it was meant to be your Kavua, there's no reason to assume that the ones that we don't know about should all be mitzvah here together. We should consider that it should be a shkunat kvarot. It may well be that all of this is a place where people would put metim temporarily in order to move them.
And as a matter of fact, it was a maaseh for Rabbi Yishei Bav. Shebadak u'matza shnayim yeduim v'echad tfila. Once Rabbi Yishei Bav, where there were two known graves, and one of them was discovered, so he wanted to make it a shkunat kvarot. He said, we have three bodies. So therefore, they can't be moved. He was working with the society against the highway building, you know. So it would be Keshla, Sotan, Shkunat, Kvarot, Omar, Lo, Rabbi Akiva. Look, you can make as many demonstrations as you want, and as many Piskei Halach as you want. It's all nonsense. Kol Shiagata, Lorik Yagata. You're trying very hard, but it ain't going to work. Because Lo, Amru, Shkunat, Kvarot, this Halach of Shkunat, Kvarot was not said in a tzira where you happen to get three bodies together. It can only be in a case where you have shlosha, and here the gross gersa is bitchila. He takes out, on the basis of a braita in the sifri, takes out the shlosha yiduin or shlosha batchila. Because he says where you have shlosha yiduin, certainly you can't be mefan of them, that may be. But you do not need the bedika of the shkunat kvarot. And we don't call it a shkunat kvarot in that sense. Okay, others learned, if you don't know that they were buried here permanently, you can also move them. And we'll see later on that there's a very strong reason not to allow mesim to grab areas that are meant for roads or where people may be walking afterwards. We want to do our very best to remove all such areas in Eretz Yisrael and to centralize them in order not to have mekomos that cannot be used or mekomos of tumah in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore we'll find halachas where we're neita very much to be mekel, to move the meitim as much as possible so that we don't get into positions of needing bridges over French Hill, things like that. So, although it may have ended up serving good traffic purposes, actually, in the long term. That's the reason for that, we'll really big bridges. So, note lan, the etvusatan. Now, the Mishnah assumes we know what that word means, this etvusatan, we know where it comes from. But first, our question is, how exactly do we envision this idea of etvusa so we can find a mekor for it in the Torah? Om revyuda omakro, unisa'atani mi mitzrayim. When Yaakov Avinu told his children, carry me, mi mitzrayim. Why did you say this? Satani likvurata? But what he's saying is Rashi says, take the dirt of Mitzrayim with me. So that means I now understand that tfusatan, the idea of tfusatan, would mean to see to it, probably, there's two possibilities. I mean, if we assume that there's an area that is a given that a mace is tofes, so then it would be called tfusatam because the mace is tofes the area. But if we're bringing the raya from the satani b'mitzrayim, it's more likely that the meaning is mitboseset. Tfusatan mitboseset b'damayik. So that the liquids of the mate have been absorbed in the earth itself, and therefore the earth is removed together with the mate. No, yeah, it's just, obviously it doesn't mean we literally learn from this case. The Yerushalmi gives that explanation. They ask, I mean, how would it apply to Yaakov Avinu? I mean, it wasn't Nogia Yaakov Avinu. They said the Yerushalmi is giving a reason for why it is that we treat the Tfusa the way we do, as we're going to see. And the shear that we give it, where do we get that from? It's using the model of Nesatani Mitzrayim, even though it may not apply to the actual case. Otherwise, the Rambam learns the whole thing is an asmacht. Anyway, kama shiur tfusa, so what is the meaning of tfusa tamid? How much is that? So Omar Rabbi Elazar, this is not specifically, not Rabbi Elazar but Rabbi Tzadok, it's specifically over here, Rabbi Elazar ben Pidat, who is an Amora, and therefore the Girsa must be changed, because otherwise we wouldn't have asked on him. So Pirish Rabbi Elazar, notel afartichoa, what you do is that any of the earth that is beneath the mate, that is soft, so that you take for sure. And you're also chofer babetula, you dig into the virgin earth that doesn't show any signs of having once been part of a yeshuv, that's why we call it virgin. So you dig in shalosh etzbaot, and again, as the Yerushalmi brings, this is the shear that we give because we assume that what would have been absorbed from the body would have been absorbed within that shear. The tichoach itself is seen as having been softened through such things. So I now dig into the dirt itself, and I take all of that out together with the body. Now, bichlal, the whole issue over here of moving, the problem of moving the mate, it's also not clear where that comes from. And there's many different shitot. There's even one of these weird shitot, the Kolbo shitas, that to move a mate, we see from Shmuel that Shmuel got very scared. Maybe it was the Yom HaDin, so the mate is going to feel that he's now being called up to din. So one of the Twilight Zone svaras. But the Rishonim generally view it as a pigam in Kovod HaMeit. This is a din, a mate is kavur. There's a sense of somewhere that's bizayon hamet, not just kavur hamet. Bizayon hamet, it's unpleasant and disgusting to people. That's a bizayon that somebody should be treated, remains should be treated in that fashion. But even if it isn't a bizayon, the very movement is a lack of kavur. This is the place of the mate. Why is it being disturbed? It's interesting, there's another sfora that Reb Moshe was machadish, because of needs of halacha, in which he tained that since there's a mitzvah to be kaver a mace, undoing the kvura of the mace is a violation of the chiv of kvura. So immediately you have to take into consideration that violation. So if it was made l'chatchila to be moved, fine. Then that's part of the kvura. But if not, so then how can you undo a kvura if you're undoing the mitzvah?
Somebody was very complex and they know they want to send it there to Israel.
And nowadays that would be very common. In those days, anywhere that someone was buried, there was no way to get him back to his family. I mean, within a reasonable time.
So when they buried them, later on gather up the bones.
That that's what we've been talking about. Yeah. So in any event, so he's mefarish the shalosh etzbaot. Now the Gemara asks a kasha on this. Meitve, v'kama shiur tfusa. Rabbi Elazar had just said, the Amora, Rabbi Elazar just said, Rabbi Elazar ben Pidat, that it's in three etzba'ot. But here we have a braita in which we find a very, very different shear. Pirish Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Tzadok, notela kismin, veta kisasot. Basically, what you do is, Tosfot kismin means shards of shayish, of marble. Because since we're going to be talking about the din of Rakav, and if the mate had been buried in a wooden coffin, there is no din of Rakav. So therefore, how could there be kismin? Kismin generally means piece of wood. How could there be wood? If there was wood, then there wouldn't be any tumat Rakav at all. So he learns that what happened over here is that the mate was buried in an aron of shayish, which later shattered. So when it shattered, it didn't now take away the din of rakah. So what do you do now in moving the mate? So now you have to separate things which are clearly not from the mate, such as shards of marble, veta kisasot, or hard pieces of rock-like earth that wouldn't have been part of the mate. Some have other purushim, but those will start to look on them. Vizoreket avada'im, look, things that are definitely not from the mate. Throw it out. Meniach et asfeko, things that might be from the mate, that therefore could be possibly a suffik tuma. So you put that in a mokum tsanua. The rest is considered to be the mate vadai, vashar mitztarev, l'rov minyano, l'rov binyano shomet, l'rov atzamot, l'malei tarvad rakav. But it doesn't say a thing over here about digging. Where does Rabbi Elazar come off arguing on the Braita with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok? Where does he get it from, Bichlal? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat was going aliva the shita of ben Azai. So who the Omer Kehaitan, the Tanya Kama Shirut Fusa, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, not referring to Rabbi Yochanan the Amora, but to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who quotes ben Azai. So Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum ben Azai, Notel Afartichoa, Vechofer Babitula, Shalosh Etzpaot, which is precisely what Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat had said. So clearly, this is what he was saying. Omer Rabbi, Badak Upina. Badak Upina. What happened over here is he was being bited. He stumbles over a mate. Right? So he goes ahead and he moves this mate now to the normal Beit HaKvarot. They continue building a highway and they find another mate. Okay, but that's two. So they move this mate also to the Beit HaKvarot. Then they find a third mate. No. So Ashkach, now they find a third one. So now on. So then Badak Veshkach. The Dinah says, Rav Alohai, Mefane Lelegabe Hana, Shred. The remaining mate is not removed to the two, but you don't have to bring the two back to where they were once you already moved them. Volo Hanitre Legabe Hatchad. Some say, even more than that, which seems outrageous, some say that what Rav had actually said was, Ikadiyam Rema Rava, well, once already you broke up the Shkunat Kvarot, and you moved the two, you can already move the whole thing. So how could that be? I said, why to give it the din of a shkunat kvarot that you can no longer move it? You know what? We're looking for excuses. We don't want to have mating buried in places. So we want to get rid of these bodies. So if we can find any excuse, we'll use it. So over here, what can you do? You already moved it. So maybe you shouldn't have, but once you did it, you might as well finish up. So because of that, this is not Lufi, what do they call it, Atikot? Rishut Atikot. Right? It's the first time, first find out what's there. Little did they know what they were uncovering, Pandora's box. Never find out what's there first. First move, then worry about it. V'araya lechom yeshivat HaKotel. What's that? Well, we wouldn't have the entire view of the old city blocked if they had first built that, then worried about it. But once they found things they weren't able to build, they had to go up instead of down. Sava Josh could tell us about that in the old days when he was able to see the Mokum HaMikdash from his front door. So this is Reish Lakish. How about, says, the Mishnah said you're supposed to now check 20 Amot. And 20 Amot would be the shear of, the normal shear is 6 Amot. On either side, where you for the Mara, plus there used to be a little chotzer. I mean, after all, it's a nice shkuna. So you have the chotzer is 6 amot, the actual Mara has 6, and the other Mara would be 6, which would be 18. But since you don't know what direction things are, you'd have to take into consideration that you want to do a diagonal. So therefore, count to 20. That was the shear that we gave in order to make sure that there's no other shkunat kvarot in the area. How about if you did? But that means three mama velo matzah. What would be the din? My. Now, one way of learning this is, if you see that there's nothing else there, do you now have to rethink your assumption that this was a shkunat kvarot? Because it's unusual just to have three meitim that are buried there. I mean, if it's a shkunat kvarot, why don't we find the whole plot?
But three is the minimum that makes it
shkunat. No, that's what we're saying. In other words, there's the way to learn the Mishnah that three is an assumptive shkunat kvarot, which is b'chayvid v'bayit. But now if you're Baidik, so now maybe you can come to the conclusion you made a mistake. Or is three itself definitely a shkunat kvarot? It's the way we've been assuming. It's the way that some of the other Rishonim learn, and the Esrim would be just over here to make sure that there isn't more. Others learn that the question is, suppose you chose one direction. There was nothing in that direction. Do you need to try the other direction? In other words, the norm is that the mate would be buried with head inside the kuch and feet towards the opening of the kuch. Suppose you go in the direction where the next shunat kfarot would be, and it turns out nothing is there. Do you have to check the other way? This is the way others learn. Others learn, you didn't find. Are we now mechayev to bring a bulldozer and dig deeper? Okay, different approaches. The simplest approach is the one that we started with. If you didn't find, you have to rethink your original finding of Shlesh. Omer of Menashe bar Yirmiya Amarav, it's a shchunat kvarot. Now, that obviously, according to the way we were learning it, that's a chumrah. It's a shchunat kvarot, and you do not rethink your assumption. In which case, the next words are completely unfathomable and are taken out by those who learn this pshat. There is no re-quote of Reish Lakish, Ilam Matzuvat Yarot Eretz Yisrael. However, the other pshatim have it. If you checked in only one direction, do you have to check? No, you don't have to. This is the Shkunat Kvarot. Why? Because Ilam Matzuvat, okay, you know, you check in one direction, what's the point? You got to check all over. You know, you're a good boy. You don't have to be perfect. The Rosh says it's very weird. What would you just take at random? You would take one direction, you'd have to take another direction. What would that be? Again, so others, you know, give you the explanation. You check, but you're not required to check more deeply if that's the standard. It's good enough checking. Or you don't have to worry about the direction that the mate was buried in. You can assume he was buried in this way. Okay, Sabra, Josh, you're on. Kol safek nigaim batchilat tahor atchelo nizkak betumah. See, the end of this Mishnah ends with the word raglayim ledover as well. This is really part of the Mishnah that's coming. It's all one long Mishnah that discusses places where we would have to assume something that otherwise we wouldn't. Now, this halacha has been nogea findings of a nega, and the truth is, in Masechet Negaim, the Mishnah is expanded upon and talks about the actual case. What happened was, there were two patients, and both of them were examined. So we have a question over here, which one of them? We know there had been a shear of a sela lechatchila, and one had been less than a sela. Now there was an expansion. We don't remember which one was expanded and which one was lechatchila the sela. So now, can the kohen be metame because of pisayon, assuming that it spread on both of them? Or do we say, well, if you can't identify neither of them, metame? So once again, over here, you had a cheskes taira. You don't go now to be koveya that the nega is tame. On the other hand, if it's the other direction, if now the negayim are fading, and they're getting smaller, and the question is, can I now be metayer them? Now the question is, can I say, you don't need now another hezger, as the case may be. There, once you're in this kaklatuma, sveko tame. Minan emili, how do we know this? Omer viramarava makrela taharo. Oletamo, so you see that the Torah begins with the taro. When the taro, make the assumption that he's tahor. Only if you know what you're doing, say he's tameh. So, pataka katuv b'taharat techila. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, what's the difference which way? And if you were niskak b'tumanami, we say the same thing. It doesn't say this dafka where you had a cheskat tahara. What if, why would you explain the same pasuk even if it was a cheskat tumah? You're right. The truth is, the Mishnah stated a simple question of Chazak. Cheskes Taira, Tahor. Cheskes Tuma, so then it would be Tameh. So what was this drush? It was referring to a completely different case. The case that was referred to over here, Ahaitma, Im Baheret Kadma L'Sear Lavan Tameh. Im Sear Lavan Kodum L'Baheret Tahor. Safek Tameh. Fine. So over here, we don't know what came first. We know that Seyar Lavan in a nega is a sin of Tuma, but not if first the hair turned white, followed by the skin discoloration. It's only if the skin becomes discolored and then the hair is affected. How about if you don't know? So again, if you don't know, so then you assume it's Tahar. You assume it's Tameh, whereas Rabbi Yeshua says no. Keha? What is he apparently is arguing? My Keha, what does he mean by Keha? Omer of Yudah Keha, it's as if the nega now became darker, and it's tahar. How do you know it means that? V'duma keha v'tame. Now that's very weird. Well, let's speak about it in a moment. So duma keha v'tame, maybe it means just the opposite. That it's keha and it's tame. Now, if keha means that it's dark or weak, then this doesn't make any sense. To which the Rishonim says, well, most of those doesn't make sense. At least language-wise. No. Don't get to, I mean, everybody knows Lashon of Nazir is weird. I mean, it's a Mishonim. That's the Klal, the Mishonim. But the Oruch has the Girsa Keha, which is with a Kof, not with a Kof. So in which case would be Keha means that he really went into the kind of details that set your teeth on edge here and argues. But how do you know which way he would argue? Well, what do you mean, how do you know which way? I mean, if they say Tameh, then he's got to be saying Torah, otherwise he's not arguing, right? So the Rishonim explained that would mean Tameh Bevadai. They're saying Mitzad HaSofik. And he's saying, no, it's not a Sofik. It's a Vaalei Tameh without a Chazaka. So maybe it means that, says the Gemara. It can't mean that. And that's where Rav Yehuda Amar Rav comes in. Because there's bluntly. Yeah, that's right. Great. Yeah, very good. Excellent. So Omer, if you're not a Rav, Omer kro le taharo o le tam'o. The idea over here is the Torah opens with tahara. Nobody's going to say that it's vale tamei, so therefore he must be chelek and saying it's tahor. But he was not referring with this drasha to the basis of our Mishnah, which is a simple svara, hamed tamei al cheskato, or hamed tahor al cheskato. B'shiv'a derachim botkin et hazav. But only Achelon is Kaklaziva. Now let's remember once, just briefly review what the din is of a Zav. Remember, a Zav who has one Re'ia has exactly the same Tuma as a regular Baal Keri. Normally, Zivot and Keri is distinguishable just physically, because the material in a Zivas is not similar to real semen. It's a loose material, it's prosthetic liquid. That is not, this is a pathological discharge of some kind. And therefore, we wouldn't have confused it with Sheikh Wazera. But the Rambam also says it's discolored. Rambam actually was a big bucky in venereal diseases. He wrote books on venereal diseases. He says that it's actually discolored a little bit on the reddish side. And that the din of the tomb over there would be the din of a Balkari. Now, suppose the Zav has two Re'iot. If he has two Re'iot, then he becomes Tamei for 7 days, the way we pass him, but he doesn't require a carb. If he has three Re'iot, he also requires a carb. However, there's a pasuk that indicates that the only time that the Torah pronounces a Zav to be Tamei in this fashion is if there are no extenuating circumstances. If there's any extenuating circumstances that could have caused this malfunction, so then it's not tamei. It has to be mibisoro velo makmat unso, is the drasha. It has to be part of his body's malfunctioning, normal pathology, so to speak, but not something that you might cause or exacerbate. So there's 7 things that might have caused an additional riyaz zivais, but we only will check that on the second riyah. We will not check that on the third riyah, because in the second riyah, you're already tamei. So therefore, we won't check to see whether the third one came because of extenuating circumstances. There, again, it's because Raglayim Ladavar. And we will say, even if there were extenuating circumstances, we already see that something's wrong with your body. So we're assuming that that's what it is. Not now, all of a sudden, because you did one of these 7 things, that therefore you were now Gorim, that this even doesn't count. So what are these Shiv'adrachim bot kinet azav? We will check a zav to see whether there were any one of the 7 causes, extenuating circumstances to excuse a riyav zivas that it shouldn't be tamei. But this is only ad shelo nizkak leziva, only until we already define him as a zov to require his 7 days of tum'ah. And that is b'ma'achal u'b'mishteh, so overeating or drinking. B'masa, if he is carrying something heavy. If he jumps high, b'kvitsa, b'choli, he has a fever. U'b'mar'a, Mar'ah is that he actually watched copulation, even of humans. Not that he was Mahara particularly, but there's some type of subliminal suggestion of something that has to do with ejaculation, which might have simply exacerbated a pathology, or actual hero, where he was actually fantasizing. But Mishan is Kaklaziva, Ain bot kinato. Once, however, he was niskak lezivei stame, there's no point in checking anymore. And the din is that in that case, even on so, usveiko v'shichvat zaro tmeim sheraglayim ladover. Here, once again, is the raglayim ladover that makes us discuss this in this parak, even though it belongs in Maseches Zavah.
What is the niskak lezivot? One time is definitely
the zav
without this.
Right.
The next time.
Yeah, so we're saying, okay, no, so you jumped. So now all of a sudden it's because you jumped. Yesterday it wasn't because you jumped. So you're already a Zav. So at this point we assume now you're Chayav a carbon. Now how to read these words? Onso v'sfeiko shechvat zaro. Again, the Gemara is going to do its own thing with this. It's going to read it as separate issues. So that shechvat zaro, the Zav, is now given a different level of tumah, which we'll see. But in terms of the pashtus of the Mishnah, some learn that this is all one discussion. On so, or a suffix about whether what you're looking at is semen or zivus, that is already part of the cheskas tuma. So sveko, meaning is sveko of shechvat zaro, and that is not going to be what the Gemara does with it though. So sveko v'shechvat zaro to meim shraglayim ladavar. The next case of raglayim ladavar is where somebody wounds another person. Now the halacha is over there. If you shoot somebody or you hit somebody, The Besdin has a medical examiner come in. If what you did caused damage, but the LP medicine, it does not look like you wounded him mortally, so you're free, and you have to pay the regular penalties, the chamisha dvarim that you usually pay. However, if the medical examiner says that there's a strong likelihood that the victim is going to die, so the man is arrested and put into prison, until we see whether he survives, whether the victim survives. If not, so then he's a rotzeach. Now, how about in a case where he was initially estimated that he would die? Amdu lemita. And then, hakel mimenu. It turned out that this guy started getting better, and then what happened was that it was afterwards, it was hakel mimenu, and then later on, after he waited during the period in jail, the guy got sick again suddenly and died. So over there, the Tanakhama says Chayav. Now, the way we have the Mishnah, it seems to be saying Sheraglayim Ladover is going on the Patur. In other words, since he began to improve, it now appears that he really was made to live, which is a little bit iffy. The truth is that the mission of the Gersi Yerushalmi is the opposite. Rabbi Nechemia Omer Patur, and the Chachomim say that he's Chayav Sheraglayim Ladover, which is the way we were using Raglayim Ladover until now. That, look, if originally they thought he was going to die, and they had already imprisoned him, because medically it was a mortal wound, so the fact that he got better for the period in which he was Shoyeh, the fact is he ended up dying. It's Raglayim Ladover that this is the original way that they thought ended up happening. So why should we let him off the hook? Okay, question of Yitzilo Aida gets involved here, obviously. Again, it's not particularly our sugya. Minan Emili, how do we know this halacha, says the Gemara, that we're not Bedek Azov after we already determined his Zivas? Omar Rabbi Natan, look at this very interesting passage. It's a brilliant Russia. V'hazav et zovo lazakar v'lanekeva. So hazav et zovo. It's talking about a male. Zav, Zavo, is twice. Lazachar l'nekeva tells us that the third time it's Lazachar l'nekeva. What is the common denominator between a Zachar and Nekeva? Must be that in this case we're not Vedekim, because they have nothing else in common. Notice the dinim of the Zav and the Zavar are completely different. In one, the days are Koveya, the others, the Riyas are Koveya. Obviously, the material is completely different. You're just the only common denominator is talking about venereal disease. Or a breakdown in the reproductive pathology. And what else has a Chavla Nekeva? The only Kiddush the Pasuk must be that in the same way that there's no din of Ones for a Nekeva, there's no din of Ones for a Zav. Where is that? The third time. Zav, Zavo, Lazachar Nekeva. At that point, it becomes the same for Zachar Nekeva. Says, well, how could that be the basis of it? If Rabbi Elazar says, Bashlishit Botkinoto, Berviyite Botkinoto. There's got to be some other principle at work over here, not what Rabbi Natan said. Because if it's what Rabbi Natan said, how could you read the pasuk that way to mean that the fourth time, what would be Nogeh the fourth time, to be Soter? In other words, if he is Raya Zivais now in the middle of his Shivas Nekiyim, and he says, of course I'm Raya Zivais, I just got back from the gym, what do you expect? So we said, no, the pasuk is telling me the fourth time. You must have figured that out from somewhere else, or it's not the pasuk, it's a svara. He says, no, it is the pasuk. They're arguing about whether to darshan the word et, hazav, et, zovo. So if you darshan the et, so then you have three re'iyas, zav, et, zovo. And then lazachar l'nekeva, that the fourth re'iyah, it's irrelevant whether it was la'onso or not. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is dorash etim. He learns that the pasuk is saying three re'iyas, and then lazachar l'nekeva. Whereas the Rabbanan lo darshi etim. So according to them, it's Durius, and then Lazachar and Nekeva. But there's no reason for us to be chaylik on Rabbi Natan's explanation. Made batachila mushkav kidarko notlovet vuzata shnayim notlovet vuzata matzah shlosha im yesh ben zelazemi arba amot v'atshmone harezu shkunat kvarot. In which case, bodek emenu la'alan esrimama matzah echad v'sof esrimama. So then you have to check again. But in this case, that guy gets to stay there. Shiraglaim ledavar. Shiru tchila matzo, not lovet vusato. Om Rav Yehuda, matza means prat l'matzui. Mate means prat l'aru. Mushkav means prat l'yoshev. Kidarko means prat l'roshu munach b'nirei chutav. Toni ulabar finina. Mate shechasar im otvusa v'lo shkunat kvarot. V'chol anei. The other cases of Yoshev and Yerech of my time alone, because Amrina Dilma Ovitokovimu, Motza Shnaim, Rosh Shoze, Betzad Margalotov Shoze, Rosh Shoze, Betzad Margalotov Shoze, Inlem Tvusav Lushkunat Kvarot, Motza Shlosha, Echad Yadua, Vishnaim Tchila, Oshnaim Tchila, Vechad Yadua, so then Inlem Tvusav, Inlem Shkunat Kvarot, oh, this is Echad. I'm sorry. Yeah, echad yadu of shnayim tchila, or echad tchila of shnayim yadui, shabia. So it's yeshlem tvusa, according to Rosh, ve'elem shkunat kvarot. Maaseh berebi yeshivav, shabadaku matza shnayim yaduim, ve'echad tchila, bikesh lasot of shkunat kvarot. Marlo Rabbi Akiva, ko shi agata la riki agata, lo amru shkunat kvarot, ela leshlosha batchila, is the gross girsa. Notlan vetvusatan, hechidun tvusa, om reviuda makonis satani mimitzrayim, tol imi mima afar mitzrayim. Vekamer shiur tvusa, pirish Rabbi Elazar, notela fatichuach, vechofer babetula shalosh etzvaot. Meit vekamer shiur tvusa, pirish Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadak, notela takismin, vetakisasot, vizorei ketavadain, miniach atasfekot in a mokom mutzna, vashar mitzdarev lor binyanovov, Rav Minyano Shomet, the Rav Atzamot, the Malaytar Vadrakav. Who the Omakai Tanu, the Tanu Kamashiot Vusam, Rav Yochum Shem Ben Azai, No Telofatichoach, Vachofer Batchila Sholashetzvah. Bodeke Menu Amarova, Badakupana, Badak Veshkaf, Lo Haimu Fainu Legabach, the Hani Tre, Lo Hani Tre Legabi Achat, Ike the Army of Rava. More than that, kivachinit na reshut lefanot, take them all out and find a lot. How could that be? Lishvinu shkunat kvarot on Rish Lakish ilah matzu v'tiaru Eretz Yisrael. Badak miyasrima v'lo matzamai. Omer benashu bar yirmi. Omer av shkunat kvarot. My taima. Omer Rish Lakish ilah matzu v'tiaru Eretz Yisrael or shkunat kvarot lechumra, the way we had learned it, and cut out this Omer Rish Lakish. Kosov in the going but chila tohor, achlon is kakatuma. But mission is kakatuma, svekotame, minoni mile, omri vidamarav, omrakrola taro, olotamo, ho ilu bataha katuf chila betara. See, okay, I feel mission is kakatuma nami svekotor. Elakit madrav yudamarav, ahitmar. Our mission is a simple din of chazoka. He was referring to the following discussion of him by heretkad malaser lovantame. Safek tamei, and Rabbi Yeshua Omer Keha, and we said the meaning of Keha, Rabbi Yudas Keha V'Tohor. So the Gemara said, how do you know? Maybe it's Kavetame. To which what we just said was responded, Amar Rav Yonah Marav, Amar Krelata Rolotam. Oh, Hoyelu Patach Bo Hakatuv B'Taharat Techila. B'Shiva Drachim Botkinat Azavat Shelo Nizkak Leziva. B'Ma'achal U'B'Mishteh B'Masah U'B'Kvitza B'Choli U'V'Mar'eh U'B'Hirhur. Misha Nizkak Leziva. At that point, in Botkinot, because he's already Varei Tameh Shiva. Onso U'Sveiko V'Shivat Zaro. Mitanim or Tbeim Shraglaim Ladava. Another case of Raglaim Ladava is a maket chavirovi amdul mita. And then he killed Mimenya Achamiken, Ichbin, Umeid Chayav. Rabbi Nechem Yomer Patur, Shraglaim Ladava. Minoni Mili Yomer Rabbi Natan Makra, Vazavet Zovo. That's now two. And Luriash Lishit Lazakavla Nekiva, Ikishla Nekiva. Aiva Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bashlishit Botkinoto Brevit and Botkinoto. Elabetim Kamiflege Rabbi Eliezer Dorash Etim, so therefore you have three. And Rabbanu Lo Dorash Etim, so therefore you have two. And then the one is the Zakar Umanakifa.